Identity War, and my sermon title is It's All in the Sixes, okay? It's all in the sixes. We're going to have a look at maybe biblical numerology today. And folks, I don't want you to get anxious or nervous. We are using things out there to bring in the scripture. Jesus did that, you know. He spoke about natural things that were taking place right there in his world to bring in the spiritual. Amen. So bump your neighbor and say, don't get nervous. It's all in the Bible. Okay, we don't want to preach anything that's out of the Bible, but we want to be smart and use wisdom. And my heart is, as always, to reach the young folk. And so that's our heart. I'm going to continue today. And last week, we spoke a little bit about, who was here last week? Were you here last week? And we spoke a little bit about Infinity War. Who has not seen the movie Infinity War? Okay, that's okay. It don't matter. Nobody has to go and see the movie. It's just, it's out there, and there's a lot of talk about it, and the young folks are talking about it. And so I want to use this. I want to capitalize on what people are speaking about and bring in the Bible. Bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get nervous. It's all in the Bible. Okay, praise God. So now, let me just tell you, if you haven't seen this movie, all right, it's about basically an evil guy by the name of Thanos. The whole thing is about the fight between light and darkness, good and evil. And of course, if you read the Bible, that's what it's all about, really. So here's this dude, and Thanos, that's a picture of him. He looks big because he is big. There was a problem when he was born. He was born with some kind of a defect, and it made him look like really super, super, super big. I wish I had arms like that and legs like that. But anyways, be that as it may, and because he was born with a so-called defect, he has a grudge towards humanity. I don't know if you know, but the devil has a grudge towards you and I. The Bible actually tells us that when God prophesied over him in the book of Genesis, that it said there that there would be enmity between the serpent and between the woman. All right, and between the serpent's seed and between the woman's seed. So I want you to know that just like Thanos, the devil has a grudge towards you. Anyways, back to the movie. So this dude has a grudge against humanity, and he has like a twisted philosophy. How many of you know that the devil has a twisted philosophy as well? I know there are some people as well who'd have a twisted philosophy. But anyways, Thanos has a twisted philosophy. And he's like thinking, you know what? There's way too many people out there, and there's just only so much resources. So we're going to cull people. We're going to terminate people. And Thanos is literally obsessed with three things. He's obsessed with killing people. He's obsessed with power, and he's obsessed with death. And it sounds very much like the Satan, the Lucifer that we read in the Bible. So that is basically Thanos, and his whole aim in the movie is to try and get these six infinity stones, all right? And every stone that he gets more power. And as he gets more power, he's able to wipe out more people. He's able to do what he needs to do. But how many of you know that the devil 2,000 years ago was defeated? Amen. Jesus hung on a cross, and I know that hundreds of people hung on a cross. The difference about Jesus was that he hung on a cross, died, was placed in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And 40 days later, he ascended on high. That's the major difference. Would you look at somebody and tell them, the major difference is our Christ was resurrected and then ascended. That's the major difference, all right? There's no holy man that was resurrected and then ascended. The Sai Baba died and he stayed dead. All right, he never did resurrect and he never did ascend. As with every other holy prophet or so-called man of God, they all die to stay dead. But Jesus died that he might come back to life again, was raised and then ascended, and that's the major difference. Anyways, in the movie, what happens is all of these superheroes, the Avengers, they all come together to defeat this villain called Thanos, all right? And we got all the super dudes that are there. I've got some of them on the platform as well. They all come together. And the reason why there's no faces here, if you look at these figurines, there's no faces. The reason is, and I said this last week, is because all of us, you and I, are the superheroes in God's eyes. Would you look at somebody and tell them you're sitting next to a superhero? Come on, there in Phoenix. Say it again. You're sitting next to a superhero. You say, well, what does that mean? How is that possible? I don't have any power. I'm not Iron Man. Well, if you think about in the movie Infinity War, there is Tony Stark. All right, Tony Stark. He's just an ordinary guy, a billionaire, I think it is. I wouldn't mind being a billionaire. But anyways, he's just an ordinary guy. But when he steps into that Iron Man suit, he takes on superhuman strength. And then there is the guy, Bruce Banner. He's just an ordinary guy. But when he gets super angry, he turns into the Hulk, and he has superhuman power. And then there's this other guy, Steve Rogers. And when he puts on that suit, he becomes Captain America, and he has superhuman strength. And then there's Peter Parker, just an ordinary teenager. But when he puts on the Spider-Man suit, what happens to him? He flies all over the buildings, able to swing from his strands and all of that. He has superhuman strength. And then there's woman as well. Thank God for the woman. They're also in this movie. We also have superhero that a woman, Natasha Romanoff, and when she steps into her suit, she becomes the Black Widow, and she has superhuman strength. And then there's a guy from Wakanda. There's no such place, but anyway, Wakanda. His name is T'Challa. He becomes the Black Panther, all right? And all of them have superhuman strength. Amen. And that's exactly what happens to every one of us. We're just ordinary people, but when we step into Christ, hallelujah, when we step into our gifting, when we step into the anointing, we become different people. Amen. Can you say amen? You say, well, give me an example of the Bible. I will. Look at King Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, look at King Saul. All right. Samuel goes to anoint Saul as the next king of Israel. And so it says, then Samuel took a flask of oil, verse 1, poured it on his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? And when you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Because Saul's father, Kish, was looking for, he had lost the donkeys. And so he sent his son Saul to go and look for the donkeys. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go forward. That's our theme for 2018. It's what? Forward. We shall go forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. And after that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. I mean, the enemy was encamped there. But because Saul was anointed, he had no fear. Amen? And it will happen. Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, it'll happen. Come on, look at somebody else in Phoenix, right here again, and look at them and say, it will happen. What will happen? When you have come from there to the city, that you'll meet a group of prophets coming there from the high place with stringed instruments, tambourine, flute, and harp, and they will be prophesying. Verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Hallelujah. So you may be an ordinary person right now, just an ordinary man, ordinary woman, ordinary child. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you become an extraordinary person. When you step into Christ, hallelujah, when you step into your God-given giftings, can I get an amen in this place? When you step into that office, hallelujah. You know, when the Lord, when I had to take over this ministry and Pastor Fred was giving it more and more to me, and I was like, man, Lord, I just don't feel like I can never be Pastor Fred. I can never fill those shoes. I can't pray as much as he prayed. I can't preach as great as he preached. I can't give an altar call like he can. And it was difficult for me. And the Lord said to me, all I need you to do is to step into that office. And all the Lord needs you to do is to step into that office which he has called you to step into. I'm not talking about full-time ministry, but I'm talking about that office that he has for you, whether you're a dentist, an accountant, a businessman, whatever it is that you are, to step into that place, hallelujah, that he has reserved for you. Because when you step into Christ, you step into all the power. All the power that you need is available in that office. He said to me, son, everything you need for this ministry is found in that office. Do you know when Judas stepped out of his office, Satan was waiting for him? Can I say that one more time? When Judas refused to be a part of the 12, refused to be a part of what God called him to be, that Satan was waiting for him. Judas was part of the 12, which means that he saw the blind eyes open. He did miracles. He did some amazing things. But when he stepped out of his office, he just became an ordinary man, and the devil was ready to take him out. Can I get an amen in this place? Hallelujah. So when we step into Christ, when we step into that anointing, when we step into worship, when we step into the realm of faith, when we step into joy, I don't feel like being joyful, but when you by faith step into that joy, you become a formidable person. The powers of darkness don't know what to do with you. Why? Because you've stepped into that anointing, hallelujah. You've stepped into that authority. You've stepped into that Holy Ghost boldness. And what happens is the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you are turned into another person. Can I get an amen? Look at somebody and tell them, I might look ordinary, but I'm not ordinary. I'm extraordinary. Hallelujah. I might look natural, but I'm not natural. I'm supernatural. The Holy Ghost on the inside of me has made me into another person. I've become a formidable person. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, I am unstoppable when I step into everything that Christ has. You are unstoppable. I want to tell you, man, there's no demon power that can stop you when you step into that anointing. By yourself, you are stoppable. Are you hearing me? If you are just relying on your education and your natural wisdom, the devil will stop you. He'll be able to stop you. He might not stop you today, but he'll stop you tomorrow. But if you have the faith to step into what God has for you, if you have the faith to step into that role as a mother, as a father, no demon power is going to be able to stop you. No demon power is going to be able to outsmart you and outwit you, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen today? It's very quiet in this Episcopalian church, but I'm preaching to you this morning. Hallelujah. And I feel like it's a word for some of you. I feel like I need to just tell you, come on, pull yourself towards yourself and step into what God has. Would you bump somebody on the shoulder there and in Phoenix and tell them, excuse me, but will you step into what God has for you? Come on, sometimes you can't worry about what people are saying. They're talking about you anyways. Whether you want to try and fit in or not fit in, they are talking about you anyways. Whether you want to try and be PC or BC or AC or whatever it is, the only thing that you can be is BC, biblically correct. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying. You're trying to fit in. You're not supposed to fit in. You're supposed to be a light shining in a dark place. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth, hallelujah. And if the salt loses its flavor, it is fit for nothing. Come on, if you lose the flavor of the anointing, you become fit for nothing. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? Praise God. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? So bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, come on, step into it. What does stepping into it mean? It means you need to work your faith. We are working our faith here at the Durban Christian Center. We're working our faith every Sunday. I'm working my faith every morning. I get up, I'm working my faith. We get up to pray, we're working our faith. We come to worship, I'm working my faith. Every time you give, what are you doing? You're working your faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. As long as you are on this earth, there is work involved. There is work involved. I know about grace and I know about rest, but some of us are we're in such a rest that we're in a coma state. And nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. If you do nothing, listen, if you gotta be intentional about some stuff, man. You have got to be intentional. If you want that marriage to work, you gotta work the marriage. Anybody married in this place? Does it take any bit of work? Lots of work. You bring in 50, she brings in 50. Somehow that equals 100. Nope. You bring in 100. She brings in 150. No, I'm just kidding. You bring in 100 and she brings in 100. And both of you, sometimes you got to bring in 110, 150, I don't know. Whatever it takes, you got to make it work. It's got to be intentional. And when you make it work, when you are intentional, you're stepping into it. You're working your faith. You say, well, I got a business that's not really working. Well, how intentional are you? How intentional are you? You got to step into it, man. Oh, I just feel like backing off. There's no backing off. The only time you back off is when we're standing around a box and you're in the box and we're about to put you 6 feet under the ground. Then you can back off. I said this before in the kingdom of God. There is no, we don't sell Kit Kats in the kingdom because there's an advert that says, have a break, have a Kit Kat. There's no break in the kingdom of God. And I know we're joking, but actually that's the truth. The minute you begin to take your foot off the pedal is the moment that the kingdoms of darkness begin to press in around you. You've got to always, always, that's how it is. You have to put that in your pipe and smoke it. You have to factor that into the equation, that as long as I wake up every morning, there's work involved. I have to be intentional. I have to press in. Faith without works is what? Is dead. Nobody ever did anything great for God without working their faith. Let me say that again. Nobody ever did anything great for God without working their faith. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? So bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's been talking to you all this time. Step into it. Come on. Work your faith. Jesus one time said, the kingdom of heaven is being preached. And there are those who are having a Kit Kat and just taking it easy. He said, no, there are those who are what? Pressing into it. Hallelujah. Pressing into it. That, I think that's in Luke 16:16. He said, the kingdom of heaven is being preached. The word is being preached this morning. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is elevated in your hearts. You know, you have elevated levels of faith this morning because of the word that's coming to you. But what are you going to do with those elevated levels of faith? You can go out and by this afternoon, those elevated levels of faith will no more be elevated because you did nothing with that faith. So you got to work your faith. Bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to work your faith. Hallelujah. You got to work your faith. When Tony Stark, he doesn't just suddenly become Iron Man. He has to consciously, intentionally get, I don't know how he gets that thing on, whatever he does something. I don't know what he does. Bruce Banner has to become angry. He has to become intentional. In fact, in this movie, you hardly see the Hulk because the Hulk, he's not getting angry enough. He's not getting intentional enough. He's not getting purposed enough. And so the Hulk doesn't materialize. Your miracle will never materialize if you are just in and out. You're just half in. You're like just hanging in there, just like floating around. You're just like whatever. Just this wind blows this way. Then this wind blows that way. And then they say something there. And then you're floating with every opinion about, listen, don't worry about people's opinions. People are entitled to opinions. But that's not going to direct. I've made a decision that people's opinions are not going to direct and manage my life. The word of God is going to direct my life. Can you lift your hands before the Lord? Say this after me. Heavenly Father, I make a decision today that I'll not be directed and moved upon by the opinions of people, but rather by your word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And I thank you today that I will be intentional and purposed about working my faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when we step into Christ, when we step into that anointing, when we step into the miraculous, we become formidable people. We give the devil a headache. We give him, he wakes up and he grinds his teeth. Anybody that grinds their teeth, they grind their teeth. You know why? They're either under a lot of stress. In fact, people sometimes when they sleep at night because they're stressful, and they grind their teeth. But the other reason why people grind their teeth is because they are tormented. And when you step into that anointing, you torment the devil. You vex him. We are giving back his dose, what he gives to people, what he does to people. He's the tormentor, the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that vexes. But when we step into that anointing, come on, when we come together as the church, the people of God, and we begin to advance the kingdom of God, and we win the lost at any cost, he's grinding his teeth. We are vexing him and tormenting. Good, hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? So anyways, back in this movie, it's the Infinity War. Thanos, who's a type of the devil, is after these six stones. And six is a very important number in the Bible. You can take six and break it up into four plus two. Four plus two is six. The number four is actually man's world, the number four. Why is it man's world? Because it's the universe, north, south, east, and west, the four corners of the earth. The number four depicts the realm of man, the man's realm, man's sphere. And the sphere of man is this world. The number two, all right, four plus two. Two is the number of agreement, if any two of us agree on earth. But also, in another way, it can be a number that opposes God, a number that is enmity at God. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because if you look at the number one, there is one God. One is the number of sovereignty. And when you say the number one, you're saying there's no other number. There's no other option. There is one God and one God alone, and him you shall worship. When you say two, you are bringing in another option. You're saying there is a difference. There's something different. And two is also the first number that is divisible into itself. So you are bringing division. You are saying that two is another option. Two, there's something different. It's not just God, but now we're bringing something else. And when you join the number two with the number four, all right, it brings about the number six, which is the number of man. The number six is also given to us in five plus one. Five plus one is what? Is six. And we know that five is usually denoted as being the number of grace. Amen. Grace is the workings of everything that we see in the New Testament. Grace is the cross. Grace is the fact that we receive eternal life, not because we baked a cake for God, or we gave him some money, or we went and helped the poor down in the squatter camps, or we did anything. Grace is simply the number of five, which says that we can bring nothing to the table. There's nothing that we can add to the finished work of the cross. That's five. But when we add one more, number one, we are nullifying the number grace, and we are brought back to the number six, which is the number seven, which is the number of man. Or six can be seven minus one. Seven is God's number. Seven is the number of perfection. And when you take one away from that, it is really man's coming short of spiritual perfection, which brings us back to the number six, all right? So when you think of the number six, you need to think about the number of man. 5 days, 5 days God created the earth. And he basically replenished the earth, put everything in the earth, put all the resources, all the diamonds, ladies, that you need are in the earth. All right? So don't come to us looking for diamonds. Just buy yourself a shovel or something. I'm just kidding. But God took 5 days, 5 days to fill the earth, 5 days to put the stars in. And then on the sixth day, he created his masterpiece. Every time, on every day, God looked at what he created and said, it's good. But then on the sixth day, what did he say? It's very good. Genesis 1 and 31 says it was the sixth day, and God said it was very good. Why? Because we are his masterpiece. Amen. We are his masterpiece. And so when we think about the number six, we need to realize that the number six is impressed on man. Okay? And so the number six is a number of man. When you think of the Antichrist, the number 666, it is the Antichrist spirit who is man, the number of man, and he's trying his best to be God, but he can't. The best he can be is another six. And he tries to be God, like God, but he can't. And the next number that he can be, the best that he can be, is six. That we saw last week in Ezekiel, in Isaiah 28, in Ezekiel, I forget the scriptures, Isaiah 14, is it? One of those scriptures, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah, where it speaks about, I will ascend, I will exalt myself. So he's always trying to be one number better than six. But the best he can be is a 666, all right? And so that is where that comes in. So six is the number of imperfection. It's the number of man. It is the number of man without Christ. Interesting that the sixth commandment in the Old Testament in Exodus 20 and 13 relates to the worst sin, which is of murder. It says there, you shall not murder. That's the sixth one. And when you look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, the sixth part or the sixth clause actually speaks about sin as well. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, so it's important to understand the number six. Jesus was accused six times of having a demon. There were six times, six references in the Bible. And I can give those to you if you need them. Mark 3:22, John 7:20, John 8:48, John 8:52. John 10:20, Luke 11:15, six times recorded in the Bible where the religious people accused Jesus of having a demon. Why do you think that's so? Let me just say this. If they accuse Jesus of having demons, they're going to accuse you of having demons as well. The reason why they accused him of having demons is because they could not comprehend how it is that he healed the blind eye and opened the deaf ear. They couldn't comprehend how Lazarus had come back to life, how it was that he was doing these incredible things, because the number six cannot compute the miraculous of God. Hallelujah. And it shows man's enmity towards the person of Christ, and that the number six will never, ever be able to comprehend the supernatural things of God. So I want to just challenge you today, because as a human being, we can stay just human. We can stay as just a man without God, a woman without God, and the best that you will ever be is the number six. But thank God that we were raised up in this ministry with Pastor Fred and Nell to trust and believe God for the supernatural. We were raised up in this ministry to believe God for signs and wonders and miracles. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So what I'm trying to say is that there is only so much that this number six can do. And if you believe it or not, the world actually operates in the number six realm. So we got to be careful about the world system. We do not operate like the world does. We're not trying to be like the world. Precious people of God, don't try and be like the world. We're not trying to copy the world and mimic the world. Yes, by all means, we want to be relevant and significant, but I'm not trying to be like the world. I'm not trying to fit in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because the world system is a six system. It is a 666 system. It is, and the best that the world can ever be is a six. Hallelujah. And when you look at this movie, Infinity Wars, that's what it is. Thanos is trying his best to get the six stones, because the best that he can ever be is six. And the best that man can ever attain to is a six. Let me say it like this, that the best man without God is a six. Man without God is limited and quantified. Man with God is unlimited and unquantified. So if you want to cap your blessings, stay at a six. If you want to cap what your wisdom and your context will do for you, stay at a six. And you can do that without God. And there are a lot of people that are prospering without God. But let me tell you something. There is I want prosperity and blessing that comes with no sorrow. That kind of a blessing that the six does brings about the sorrow. There'll be heartache. You might have all the money in the world, but your marriage would have been broken. You might have all the money in the world, but you'll be empty on the inside of us. Can I get an amen? That's what Proverbs tells us. That the blessing of the Lord, what makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. So man without God is limited and quantified. Let me tell you, if you are putting your trust in your context, tomorrow, next week, those contexts are gone. There's no ways that you can keep everything's transient in this world. How many of you know that? Everything is moving. Everything is transient in this world. And I would much rather be a man with God, believing God, being a number seven with God, believing for the unlimited, believing for the impossible, believing for the miraculous, believing for what cannot be explained. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Thanos is looking for six stones, infinity stones. And we have our six infinity stones, knowing 2 Corinthians 10. Let me read this to you, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. For though, and I'm just saying this because I don't want us to leave here with the number 6. Oh, it's a number 6. Ooh, I felt the six presence. Oh, it was very demonic this morning. We are greater than the number 6. But we have to talk about what is happening, what the worldly system is all about. But here is the solution. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are wrapped up in this body of flesh. There are some things that you just cannot deny. There are some things happening in the world. I mean, and your flesh is very much alive. Is there anybody here whose flesh is not alive? Anybody here that you didn't feed your flesh this morning? You didn't have to wash your flesh. You didn't have to clothe your flesh. You just got up and floated here. Your flesh is very much alive. Amen. So the Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. If you stay in the flesh, you will fight in the flesh. And the flesh number is 6. So it means everything that you do is fought in the number 6. And you might win, you might not win. If you do win, there's some hang-ups around the corner anyways. There's some empty promises that comes with every 6. Come on. That's why I'm saying in the world, it's all in the sixes, but not in the kingdom. Jesus defeated the power of the number 6. Hallelujah. You might be a 6 as a human being, but when you are born again, you have the greater one, number 1. 6 plus 1 is 7, which means you become superhuman. You're taken out of the 6th realm, and you are now in the 7th realm. That's the realm of miracles. It's the realm of God. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, I used to be a 6, but I'm no longer a 6. I'm a 7. Maybe you were a size 6 shoe or a size 6, whatever it is. But spiritually speaking, I'm saying you're a 7 in God. Hallelujah. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And then it goes on. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Are not carnal. Hallelujah. But mighty. What are they? Mighty. What are they? Mighty in God. If you stay in 6, you're not mighty. If you stay in God, you are mighty. If you stay in God, if you stay out of God, the best that you will be is a 6 and another 6 and another 6 and another. But if you get out of the 6 and into the next number, you get into God. Hallelujah. You get into what is mighty. You are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every half thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Like I said this morning, the greatest battle that you will fight is not a physical Thanos. It'll be the Thanos in your mind. The greatest battle that you fight is right in between your ears, the thoughts that come in. and what you hear people saying about you, and what you hear sometimes your own spirit saying about you. You have to pull down those vain thoughts, vain imaginations. Bring your mind to line up with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So Thanos is looking for the six infinity stones. We don't need to look for no stones. We got our six stones, our six weapons. What are they? Number one, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You've got the name of Jesus, but you need to know Jesus. We don't just use the name like a magic word, you know. The sons of Sceva tried to do that. I mentioned that last week. And the devil came out of this demonized man and said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But I don't think I know you. I don't think I know you. I know Paul. I know Jesus. I know Paul has a covenant with God. I know Paul knows Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I know that Paul is walking in covenant with, in relationship with Jesus. I don't know you. You are known not in the physical realm to demons. You are known who you are in the spirit realm. What authority you carry in the spirit realm. You can't be saying the name of Jesus and living a different lifestyle. Doesn't work. I said it doesn't work. When you try and cast the devil out, that devil will say, you're trying to cast me out in this person, but my cousin is living on the inside of you. There's no ways we're going to divide this house. He's not coming out of this person, and I'm not coming out of you. So we need to realize it's not just the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, people just use the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. But there's greater power when you know that name as your personal Lord and Savior. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is our weapon. Hallelujah. Can you say praise God?
Praise
2,000 years ago, he was crucified. He died. That blood is still as potent. It is still as fresh. It is still has all the life that you have need of because it is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Then number three, the next weapon is the Word of Jesus. The Word of God. The Word of Jesus. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from out of the mouth of God. That word that comes from God is a word quickened to you. It's made real to you. But then you have to speak that word. You have to release that word into your circumstance. So there's the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of Jesus. And then there is the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And He is the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. There's the Spirit of truth. Do you know that truth will defeat the powers of darkness? If you are staying in gray, in that gray area, there are some people that they are in stealth mode. And the reason why they're in stealth mode is because there's a little bit of truth, but a whole lot of untruth coming out. You can't have your feet in both realms, people. You're either truth or you're not truth. When you are truth, and sometimes we do mess up. We know that. But thank God for 1 John 1:9 that we can confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us from all of our unrighteousness. But listen, when you speak the truth and you stand for the truth, you might come under attack. But let me tell you, you will be no pushover. Those demon spirits will soon realize we can't get to the sky. He represents truth. He is for truth. He is for truth. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. Amen. And then number five, how about the authority of Jesus? We carry the authority of Jesus. It's what I was talking about stepping into. When you step into that gift, into that anointing, you step into the authority of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, that you shall have what you desire. That there is an authority for you to declare, for you to prophesy. You can't wait for the pastor to come, or some grandmother, or some praying woman, or some whoever it is, some evangelist from God knows where he's going to come. Nobody's going to come. You have to operate in that authority. You have to, if there's problems at home, you have to get up as the head of that home and declare, from today, devil, I am taking the authority back. You stole my authority. It's the reason why today there's such an attack on men. And the devil wants to demasculinize men. Why? Because we're going to take away their authority. They want to take away the manhood of man. There's a huge attack on that. You were created to be a man, let me just not get down into that. Hallelujah. You are the man of God. Or if you're the woman of that house and you don't have a husband, then you're the authority. The point I'm trying to make is don't let the devil reduce you to a eunuch. Do you know what I mean by that? All right. You are a woman and a man of God, and you have to step into that authority. Don't allow the devil to lie to you and to weaken you and make you feel like you're nobody. You are somebody in God. If your life is not right, get it right. And then step in the authority of God. Quit trying to wait for some prophet, some holy man, some whoever it is. You need to anoint yourself. Buy a bottle of oil. Throw the oil over your head. And then go around your house and anoint your house and take authority. Stop waiting for somebody else to come and do it. You have to step into that authority. Hallelujah. You have to step into that authority in Phoenix as well. I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. So there's the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. There's the word of Jesus, the spirit of Jesus. There's the authority of Jesus. And number six, the last one, is the righteousness of Jesus, which is likened to the breastplate of righteousness. These are the armor of God found in Ephesians 6. We have the armor, but we have the weapons as well. Hallelujah. Righteousness. Amen. We're a righteous people, not because we make ourselves righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Righteousness means I am in right standing with God. When I am in right standing with God, I am righteous. I'm not righteous because I wear white garments. I'm not righteous because I don't eat meat and I'm abstaining from certain foods. That doesn't make you righteous. It'll cleanse your colon. It'll give you maybe a good health, but it's not going to help your heart, your spirit man. You can put all the white clothing you want on, cover your head, your toes, your hands, but you can't stop all those thoughts getting into your heart. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
One time the religious people came and said, look, these people are doing all kinds of stuff. They're eating with their hands. They're mixing some of the utensils because in the Old Testament, they observed the law. And so they thought that's making them unrighteous. And Jesus said, guys, listen, let me just tell you, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. He said, it's what comes out of a man. How do you stop what comes out of a man? How do you stop what comes out of the heart of a man? I'm not talking about the physical heart. Out of the heart, the spirit of a man. How do we stop? How do we deal with that? By changing the heart. Hallelujah. Are you saying, Pastor John, that we need a cardiologist? No, I'm talking about a heavenly physician who's able to give you and me a heart transplant. Hallelujah. That's how we deal with the heart. That's how we deal with the real persona of who we are. Hallelujah. No amount of holding your hand up like this. You know, there are some gurus that will hold their hand up like this for 3 years. I mean, that's quite a... Think about it. Just put your hand up like this now for a little bit. All right, just keep it up. Just keep it up. I'll get you to put it down the next 2 hours. But I mean, imagine all day, every day, all day. You go to shower and you're showering like this. You sit down to have breakfast. You put your shoe on. One hand's got to be up, and you got to. You get your handmaid and your wife to come put the shoes on. I don't know. You got to drive in the car. You got to drive in the car with one hand. People think you're praising God, but you're not. You're just your hands up. I mean, think about it for a bit. You got to dress yourself. Now you got to. Put your pants on with one hand. The other hand's got to be up. The moment you put your hand down, you've lost your righteousness, your level of spirituality. Do you know that some people have their hands up for 3 years, their hands become all deformed because it's not natural for you to keep your hand up like that. And it's not natural for you not to use your hand. The fingers all become like the muscles lose there and they become all twisted and deformed. That's not God, people. I don't care if you have both hands, both feet in the air, and everything becomes twisted and deformed. That's not going to make you spiritual. It's not going to change what's happening on the inside of you. But thank God 2,000 years ago on a cross, Jesus died for you and me. Amen. And that was the greatest thing that ever took place. That and only that is able to change the heart of a human being. Hallelujah. The issue of humanity is not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. How do we get to change governments? How do we get to change cities? How do we get to change nations? Oh, Pastor, if we could just eradicate all the poverty. Yeah, but you'd have the heart problem. Oh, if we could just get tuberculosis out, if we could just get healing for AIDS. No, you'd still have the heart problem. Oh, if we could just get the army and the police force deployed that would take care of the crime and the violence, but you still have a heart problem. How do you get rid of the heart problem? It's through the person of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed right now, you're looking from Phoenix up in the balcony, wherever you are in this place. The only person that can deal with the heart of a human being is Jesus Christ. Where he gets to take out that heart of stone and he puts in a heart of flesh. That's how the Bible describes it. That's how the prophet Ezekiel describes it. He says, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you and shall take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. That's why I keep saying the greatest miracle that we can ever witness is when somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I was talking to somebody this morning right after the service, and he was saying, Pastor, you know, I used to be Muslim, and I was looking at that and searching and searching. He said, how do you know which is the right one? And then he heard somebody talk about the heart change, the difference it made. He said, and I was interested. He said, that is what got my interest. Because all religion does is you just go through a format and you think you're righteous, you think you've been cleansed, but it's just a whole lot of stuff that you get to do. But you're still the same on the inside. Nothing's changed. Nothing changes. He says, but I heard the person talking about my life was changed. My heart was changed. And then he said, I sat up and I listened. He said, because that's actually what I want. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus is able to give you and me. You say, Pastor, my life is not right. I'm away from God. Today, you can come to God as you are, and he can give you a brand new heart. He can take out that heart. Wrapped up in that old heart is the old nature. And the old nature is what always gets us into trouble. The old nature is what separates us from God and from everything that God has for us. That's the ultimate aim of sin, is to get you away, to deprive you of all the goodness, the blessings, the life, the peace that God has. And so the devil lies and twists it and makes you feel like you're missing out. You're not missing out on this world. You're missing out on all the stuff that God has for you. But today you can come as you are with all of your hurts, failures, guilt, whatever it is. You can come this morning. You can come to the Father. You can come to the person of Jesus and open your heart. Listen, if you're really searching, you'll find him. You'll find him. You'll find him. You'll find him. I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. When I get to three, I want you just to lift up your hand for me to pray when I get to three. Just as a sign that I know to pray for you so that you can today come to God as you are and be forgiven. What a wonderful thing it is. You ready? Here we go. One, two, get ready. Three, lift your hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. In the back, I see that hand. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Lift your hand on the side. Wonderful. Anybody else? Anybody else, lift your hand. Up in Phoenix, just lift your hand. Watching by way of live stream, get ready to pray this prayer. We're going to help you pray right now, all right? There's more of you. There's more of you today. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed, but you can come. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand as well. Right now, I want to pray for you. Would you help me pray for you? I'm going to come down to the front. And what I'd like you to do, those of you that have your hands uplifted, wherever you are, I want you to stand up to your feet. And then when you stand up, would you get up out of your seat, walk down the aisle, and come and stand with me in the front. Do that in Phoenix right now. Those of you that are ready to come, as you are, come. Come on, let's give a big round of applause as they come this morning.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Jesus.
God bless you, man. Welcome. That's a
just as I am.
Welcome.
I
come on. God bless you. Welcome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Oh, what a man.
God bless you. Welcome. Amen. Anybody else?
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you. Welcome. I want us to do the work of an evangelist, because sometimes people just, it's a challenge sometimes. These guys were very courageous, but you might be sitting out there and, man, it's difficult for you to come. And I want to say, don't make it difficult. It's not difficult at all. But I know that there are more that need to be here this morning. There are more of you. And I'm going to ask my pastors, elders, lay pastors, come on, we want to love you, receive you, even as this woman is coming. There's more of you. Come on. There's more of you. There's more of you. There's more of you. In the first service, there was a lot of young folks that came up, a lot of young people. And it was great to see 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, kind of like my age, coming up to the front. All right. And so I want to talk to the young folk out there. You don't have to sit in that place feeling like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever be righteous enough. I don't know if I can get to that standard. But you can come this morning. Come to Jesus. And I'm going to ask the elders, the pastors, lay pastors, leaders right now. Come on, let's do the work of an evangelist. And I want you to walk around there. If you need them to walk with you down the aisle, they will. They will. They will. They will. They will. They will. All right, come on.
Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
God. Awesome. Wonderful.
Just
welcome.
As I
welcome.
Am
Amen.
My God.
Amen. Can I shake your hand? Oh, no, yours.
Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love.
Let's sing it one more time. Thank you,
Jesus.
Is there anybody else? Come on.
Just as I am,
I come.
Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love.
We're going to hand back over to Pastor Mervin in Phoenix. Can we give them a big God bless you right there in Phoenix? Tonight, just before we do switch, tonight I want to pray for all of those. We have cards, all right? We're going to hand out the cards right now. I'm going to get you to write people's names down that you believe in God for salvation. And we have these memorial stones here that we're going to bring those cards and believe God for their salvation. If you do not have a card, lift your hand up right now, and then lift your hand. All right, ushers, go ahead and put these cards in people's hands. Let me just talk a little bit about these cards. It's important that we not just pray for people's salvation, but also see their salvation come to pass. I don't want to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. 1,000 years later, I'm still praying and believing for their salvation. Like I said this morning, a woman is pregnant for 9 months, right? Give or take. After that, what happens? She goes into another 9-month pregnancy. Maybe 10 years later, she gives birth. What happens after 9 months? She gives birth. So there's a time when you conceive and you pray for that person. But then there's a time that you've got to work your faith and say, now, come on. Father, thank you now. I prayed and prayed for his salvation. It was like with my dad when I was praying for my dad, asking God to save him, asking God to save him, asking God to save him. And then one day the Lord said to me, when are you going to stop asking me and start thanking me? I didn't understand that. And I began, and when that dropped in my spirit, it was like faith welled up on the inside of me. And with my eyes, like I'm seeing you, I saw my dad. Praising God. I saw him playing the piano. I saw him with a Bible. And so I just began to thank God, Lord. And every time I'd go to pray for my dad, I just thanked him by faith. I would see him praising God. I was dancing and singing in my room because I saw my dad saved. When I spoke to my mom, he wasn't saved, but I saw him saved. 3 weeks later, I heard the good news. My dad got saved, all right? But I had to switch from asking to thanking him and to begin to see. That's how you give birth to souls that you've been praying for. So tonight, we're going to bring those cards. I'm going to talk a little bit about how the priest had 12 stones on the ephod, and he had a stone on his right shoulder, a stone on his left shoulder. On this stone, six names. On this stone, six names. And so we're believing God for the names that we write on these stones, which we're going to put in there with our cards. It's obviously physically impossible to write on those stones all the names, but you're going to bring those cards. We're going to place them in those stones, and it would be like having the names written on the stones. And then these stones in the Bible represent memorials. When Jacob was at the place called Bethel, after the encounter with God, the heavens opened. What happened? He built God a memorial, a place where he anointed it, and he also gave a tithe, actually. All right, we're not going to give a tithe, but I'm just saying, tonight we're going to pray for the salvation of souls. So bring those cards back. All right, those of you in the front, thank you. Are we finished with Phoenix? All right, praise God. Those of you in the front here, would you bow your heads and say these words after me? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father,
I come to you today.
I come to you today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
With all of my faults.
With all of my faults.
All of my failures.
All of my failures.
And all of my sin.
And all of my sin.
I ask you for forgiveness.
And I ask you for forgiveness.
Thank you for your blood.
Thank you.
That cleanses me.
That cleanses
me. And washes me.
And washes me.
Right now.
Right now.
I receive eternal life.
I receive eternal
life. And the forgiveness of my sins.
And forgiveness.
And I'll never be the same. With my heart I believe.
With my heart I believe.
And with my mouth I confess.
With my heart.
That you are the Christ.
That you are the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Right now.
Right now.
Change me.
Change.
Take out my stony heart. Put a heart of flesh. I'll never be the same. I belong to you and to this family in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. I'm going to ask the workers to come and work with them. The rest of you, let's stand up. All right, let's stand up. Father, I thank you today for your word that has come to us, that without God, the best we can be is a number six. And we would be limited and quantified. But I thank you, with God, with Christ, we are unlimited and unquantified, and we are all sevens in this place. And I declare over every person that the blessing is greater than the curse. And I thank you that when we step into our giftings and our callings, and when we step into the anointing, Lord, we become changed people. We are formidable, unstoppable. We go from this place today, anointed by God, in Jesus' name.